Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today I'm chatting with Zeb Smith. I found him on Facebook. So I'm a part of a dad's group called Dad Ventures. And it's because I know that one of my ideal niches, ideal audience folks are dads. I really want to help those guys who hate their job, want something different in their life, want to create an extra stream of income or extra streams of income. And a lot of them want to quit their job. And so I often go into these dad groups and look for people that I can serve and answer questions where I can answer. And so there was a post about what all the dads do. And I occasionally see posts like that. Hey, what do you guys all do? And the person will, you know, list their occupation. And so Zeb chimes in and says that he's a CPA and focuses on adventurers, and that he niched down to that niche. And so that really intrigued me. I reached out to him, and so we decided to have a conversation. So Zeb is a CPA. He describes himself as an adventurer, life enthusiast, entrepreneur, and advisor. He says, my purpose is to provide financial services to other adventurous entrepreneurs. Doing so gives me the freedom to pursue my passion and allows me to help others with similar interests. What really intrigued me about this is I know some of you are in a job where you, in order to scale and in order to grow, you need to add more clients or add more hours. And in this interview, we talk about CPAs and how the typical CPA might only have like a client that's like $300 a year is their the amount of revenue that each client's worth it to them. So for them to have a larger business, they just have to have lots and lots and lots of clients. Well, Zeb has the exact opposite approach. He said he right now has 6 to 8 clients that he works with, but they are at the about $3,000 a month level to him. And so that's, he is working a whole lot less hours. He's able to be at home with his fiance and his son, and he just is not working that same typical model, less stress and able to be at home and to be able to go really deep with these few clients that he has. So that's just really fascinating. I hope this encourages you guys, those of you that are in a position to where you are working a job that in order to scale or grow your income, you have to work more hours or find more clients. This will be very encouraging. But also to anybody who just wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income, it's really fascinating what else he has done besides just dealing with clients. He has ebook, online courses, group coaching, all of that around this niche. So it's super cool. We'll chat with Zeb right after this.
Have you ever totaled up how much you pay in finance charges to banks and credit card companies for cars, vacations, business inventory, and student loans? It can easily add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime, and you'll never see that money again. What if you could fire your banker and recapture all that interest you're currently sending to banks, credit card, and finance companies? Well, you can by using the same time-tested, bank-on-yourself, safe, wealth-building financial strategy that I use. This strategy is actually better than paying cash and being debt-free.
If you're like me, your only regret will be that you didn't start using the bank-on-yourself strategy sooner. So go to yourstreamsofincome.com and find out how it can help you reach your financial goals and dreams without taking any unnecessary risks. Take advantage of a free strategy session from a trusted advisor. Go to yourstreamsofincome.com.
Zeb, welcome to Streams of Income Radio. Appreciate you being on here with me.
Absolutely, Ryan. Thank you for the invite.
Of course. So tell, I know this is your first time on the show, maybe not the last time, but we actually met in a Dad Ventures Facebook group. So we'll chat about that. But tell my audience about you, who you are, and what you do.
Sure. Yep. So my name is Zeb Smith, and I own a business called Ascent Business Financial Strategies. I'm a CPA by trade, but by what I guess I do with my clients is I work more at like a CFO advisory role for outfitters and guides, adventure guides all across the nation.
That's awesome. And you're in Colorado.
Yep. Southwest Durango, Colorado.
That's cool. So guys, the reason I reached out to Zeb, but he's in a group called Dad Ventures. I'm in this 3 or 4 dad Facebook groups, and you guys know that my heart is for dads, especially to see them have the life that Zeb and I have, to be able to be at home with our families. Zeb's got a 9-month-old. And so, you know, he doesn't have to go away to work every day and be away from them. And so that's what I want for more people. But I saw his post in there. A comment to somebody else about what you do. And you talked about you are a CPA to people in the adventure niche. And Zeb, most people think, you know, a CPA, you probably accept anybody and everybody as your clients. And it sounds like you're more specific. And that's what really intrigued me to reach out to you, because you focus on people that are in the adventure business. So tell me about somebody who is your ideal client? What's the adventure business?
Yeah. So the ideal client oftentimes is going to be an owner or a family, like a husband-wife situation, mm-hmm. Or most oftentimes fathers who own an outfitting business, most often going to be like ATV groups or rafting guides.
Okay.
But they want the business to be kind of their main primary income source, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in Gunnison, Colorado originally, know the industry, know the people. That's really how I isolated it, is really, you know, I just knew the personality types and I got them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could speak their language. I knew the grind that they went through. You know, the industry itself is very much like hard labor, hard work. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes historically, most outfits really have like slim margins.
Okay.
Or they, you know, work that in the busy season and then have other kind of gig or other side job. But my ideal client is really somebody or a family who wants to be able to make that their primary. Mm-hmm. They go full bore into it and they want it to be able to set themselves up for retirement. Uh-huh. They want it to fund their kids' education. Yeah. They want to build it into a business that, like other industries, can be something that's sellable or some kind of tangible asset that they can, you know, continue to grow. So the mindset oftentimes of the owners that I really enjoy working with are going to be adventure guides, outfitters, uh-huh. who want to make it their primary, who want it to be sustainable for like their family network, essentially.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what are, I know that this is not what we chatted about before, but are there, do you give them ideas for other ways to bring in income besides just renting out rafts or whatever it is that they're doing?
Oh yeah. Nope. So, I mean, even within it, there's an element of owning the real estate. Oftentimes, you know, most all of them run in some kind of national forest or the parks. So like there's permitting and stuff, but often wherever they have like their boat launch, they have their facilities. One way to kind of generate that additional wealth is for that ownership. Right. That also being the case too. Even though they want that to be their primary, there's still abilities to like generate additional income through the shoulder seasons, as long as that's what they choose to do. And then, you know, you can even diversify even within the business itself. So they might be like fully invested within the business, but to be able to do different verticals of different like adventure types or different kind of audiences and markets that they attract to within that. So, yeah.
And so these people are typically, are they in the same model that you are in, whereas a CPA, in order to grow your business, you have to find more customers, essentially?
So that's one of those interesting things in that I actually challenge most all my clients to do is to really define their ideal customer role. Okay. So like, for example, you know, I do some work with outfitters on the Arkansas River.
Okay.
Here in Colorado, Buena Vista, Canyon City area. It's a super saturated river. It's highly sought after in terms of, there's just a lot of different outfitters on it. Okay. So it's really hard to differentiate themselves. Yeah. And it's really hard to kind of create and like stand out from the other ones. Mm-hmm. And historically, you know, this is one of the things that my particular client that I'm thinking about told me. He was like, you know, it just feels like the wheels are spinning off the bus because we're just trying to capture as many people as we can. We just want to get those butts in the boats, and in our short time period, just crank it out as many people as we can. Yeah. You know, even pre-COVID, we were having these discussions. They were making a shift kind of in their mind space of going from owning multiple locations to just scaling back to one location so they could have a tighter family unit as their kids were growing a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So they scaled back. And when they were scaling back, I went through that exercise to be like, who's your ideal customer? What's the profile? What do you want? COVID ended up hitting. So it really kind of reinforced that. But even to this day, you know, with 2020, it's now the middle of July. Yeah. They're actually showing like record sales, record numbers.
That's awesome.
Their outfitters, the guides are less stressed. They, the employees, like the owner told me, he was like, this is the first time I've been able to spend a weekend summer with my kids.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
is
like,
that because you help them see other ways to create income from what they're doing, or how did that happen?
It was taking a different approach. It was looking at it from a different lens.
Okay.
So, I mean, when they're in there working day by day and they're surrounded by the other outfitters, you know, I've been told this by plenty of outfitters, is that you start to just watch like the other boats, you start to watch the other vans and like who's going down the highway, just to kind of get a pulse on like what other people are doing.
Sure.
But, you know, with being a financial person, when being like a CPA, you know, I'm looking at it from a much higher level, and then like basically helping them set up some strategy and doing some design on more approaching the business to be a tool to support them personally.
Okay.
So, you know, I look at it from top down. They've been used to looking at it from the bottom up kind of deal. And we're kind of meeting in the middle at that point. So, you know, we just talked about the ideal customer profile. Mm-hmm. With this shift, we were also transitioned from individual seats, basically on how they sold, to now selling their businesses by a boat operation. So with COVID, it's really attractive to be able to buy a boat, right? So like if it's a group of four, a group of six, they can put all four on there. Or if it's a couple that wants a really exclusive group, yeah, they can buy that same boat. Now, historically, you know, they'd be selling basically two people at a time was kind of like their standard muse. Mm-hmm. Well, now they can still make those two people at a time sale, but those two people are buying a full boat.
That's awesome.
So talk about like that's where I'm saying like their sales are up, the dollar amounts in sales are up, but the volumes cut way. I mean, the volume's like almost a third of what historical sales were in terms of number of people coming through, but the sales are still up there.
Wow. So, they're just being smarter about it, being more efficient, and I love it. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And so that's kind of like what I do. I mean, like I don't function in the standard CPA role at all. Yeah. You know, I used to do what you were describing. I used to do the standard CPA, taxes, bookkeeping, do that type of stuff, everything for everybody. I mean, I had contractors, I had professional service people, I had marketers, gyms, I mean, all kinds of different lineups. Mm-hmm. And it just became so stressful trying to manage all that stuff, and it wasn't anything I enjoyed. I just basically said, I'm done doing this. I really enjoy the strategic planning stuff. Yeah. I'm a high level financial management minded individual. I like the financials, and I really enjoy my outfitter clients. So I just went all in, and now it's great. You know, my sales are up comparatively. I only service right now, I think I've got eight clients or something like that. So I'm usually working between about 4 to 10. 10's like my upper limit because I have these real intimate relationships with these individuals.
Yes.
You know, I'm now part of their team. They see me as just as much of a team as anybody else. And like I'm working considerably less.
You did the same thing you just advised them to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that has been a huge shift this last probably year and a half.
Wow.
My fiance, I took her to a conference in Salt Lake City last year, and she we went to a couple different seminars on niching. I met another lady who works in the adventure tourism world, and Christine's like, you really got to pursue this as a niche. So she really kind of kicked me in the butt to pursue it and gave me the okay to go for it. And it's just been awesome.
I love it. So what drove you to do that? Was it just because you were getting burnout, working too many hours and not really enjoying that side of it?
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't near as gratifying.
Yeah.
The nice thing is, like, I've always enjoyed my clients. Like, I always have. Mm-hmm. It was just really challenging because every person has their own expectations. Mm-hmm. And when you work with so many different backgrounds, different types of people, they all have their own different language. So, right. You know, one of my last non-outfitter clients was a physical therapist that I brought on. Okay. And I spent so much time just learning the language and just getting the expectations down and like looking at their systems. I was like, I've really got to commit to like not stretching out. Great people. I liked who they were, but you know, I just had to say no basically to kind of stretch myself out. So because of that, it led to lots of extra hours. I mean, and not too much pay because I couldn't really get to know those individuals. Yeah. I think like sales is more a matter of interaction and like personal relation than actually delivering on a product than anything else. So
you were getting stressed out, tons of clients, working lots of hours. You wanted to do something different and you just started focusing on something that you really enjoyed doing and the people that you enjoyed working with.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, that's the way it should be done. And now a lot of people will say that, you know, hey, aren't you hurting yourself because, you know, you only got 4 to 10 clients, you know, I mean, why don't you have 25 clients like the normal CPA, but you're probably able to charge more because you're providing extra value and more, like you said, you're part of their team essentially.
Yeah.
So I imagine you're making more money with those 6 to 8 clients than you are with if you had 25 at the old model.
Well, exactly. I mean, even the older model too, I mean, depending on the type of like CPA you're speaking with, I mean, they're talking at like $300 a year for a client, you know, like on a simple tax return.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be able to usually do, we'll just do like target numbers. Okay. So like if your target sales are $300,000 a year that you want to make, you've got to have $1,300 clients.
Whoa.
So, and that's what like a kind of tax accountant ends up cranking out. That's not doing kind of some broader like financial planning or tax advising kind of work. That's just doing H&R Block tax return.
Right.
Okay. Whereas like with this type of model, because I'm doing more of like a financial management, I'm looking at their life more holistically. I'm looking at the business operation and making sure it sustains them. This type of model is like $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, so
love it.
I mean, it's truly like it's a CPA designation, you know, it's all the same credentials, but it's just the application and it's the difference of $300 a year versus like $36,000 a year.
That is awesome. Wow. And you're loving what you're doing more cause you're not so frazzled. You're right in the niche that you want to be in, helping the people that you want to help.
Well, and like the clients love it because like I'm somebody that they call, you know, like there's no hesitation. Like I said, I'm just as much part of the team. Like I understand what their broader life plan is. I know every step along the way, what they got going on. And you know, like there's nothing more difficult, nothing more challenging than being like a financial advisor and not being reached out to when somebody wants to buy a vehicle.
Right.
Well, now like the idea crosses their mind and they're like, do we lease or do we buy? These are the financing operations. Like this is kind of what we have that's going on.
Yeah.
And I can speak with them through kind of those fine points to make that decision. And like they reach out to me. So,
awesome.
You know, it's not so one-sided.
Right. That is awesome. And that's not all that you do. I was on your website. You have an ebook. When somebody comes to your site, they have an opportunity to grab that ebook at your lead magnet, which gets people into your funnel.
Absolutely.
We talk a lot about. You have online courses. You have group coaching. And you also have, you mentioned the recurring revenue. That'd be like what you do with your clients. That it's recurring every single month. Mm-hmm. So talk about, you know, just, I just don't see, maybe I'm not in the CPA world and I'm not, but I don't see most CPAs doing what you're doing as far as gaining leads this way, an ebook, an online course, and group coaching. How does that work out for you? And what are you doing there?
Yeah, I know, totally. You know, with my added time, I spend a lot of time working with my own coaches and my own advisors, you know, mm-hmm. I have like a sales mentor. I have some advisor mentors. So, you know, with having the freed capacity, I can do a lot of personal development and coaching in that accord. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge plus to it. I appreciate you calling that out because that's all part of really my client experience. Okay. So it ends with, I mean, I wouldn't say it ends with, but I really want to be able to build the relationships to be in this virtual CFO world in this capacity that I've just described. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I know not everybody's able to jump into that kind of a commitment, mm-hmm. but if they want to get there and it's just the timing's not right, then that's where I have these other different middle programs. Okay. And I don't do those programs all year long. I do those on a really kind of needs basis. Mm-hmm. And with like the Outfitters, the group program, and usually the online learning is something that they do in the winter time during the shoulder season, right? Because they're out grinding right now. Yeah. They're capturing their sales. They have a 4-month selling season for the most part. Okay. During the downtime is where they leverage those other options. Got it. So the ideal experience that a customer or a client's going to go through is I have that lead magnet, and if you were to download it and check it out, it's 13 key metrics to grow a profitable adventure business. Mm-hmm. I run through some top line sales metrics that you should be monitoring at a high level. Yep. We basically walk through the profit and loss and kind of break down different components of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those are all drivers behind what we do and what we monitor regularly throughout the business. And it really helps them improve the profitability of their operation. Yeah. Okay. So within that lead magnet is the next step would then be a profit diagnostic. Mm-hmm. So there's instructions on how to do a profit diagnostic with me. That profit diagnostic is where I get on a one-on-one meeting with a prospective client or anybody that's just interested to see kind of where their profitability is at. Yeah. We take an hour to just talk about their business, plug in some key numbers, look at how some variables could impact their business. Mm-hmm. And then from there, that'll lead into the discussion of our reoccurring CFO level services. Okay. So that leads into my sales discussion. We settle in on a price and kind of like what the relationship would look like. Uh-huh. And then they're either all on board at that point because, you know, we've set kind of some tangible benchmarks on being like, this is where you currently are. This is where you want to be. This is where you want your income to be. This is where you want your return to be. And we've spoke through ways that I can help get you there. Yeah. So we have a price point. We have a scope set up in that discussion. If it's an individual who's not quite ready to make that kind of commitment, mm-hmm. well, then that's where I have my online course. Yeah. So my online course basically walks through, I mean, I've put into this everything, my whole gamut in terms of what I will do with your business. Mm-hmm. You just have the ability to do it on your own.
Right.
So that price point is going to be a portion or a percentage of what my reoccurring
Because it's not, your time's not involved in that. You've already created that content and it's up to them to put it into practice. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then they can do that. And if they really like it, and you know, in the shoulder season, when I have this potential opportunity for a group-based program, uh-huh. they can jump in together and do that. You know, you don't get the one-on-one, like mm-hmm. I still understand your businesses. I still understand what these people are usually trying to do, mm-hmm. but I am not super ingrained in it. But as a group, they're able to collaboratively and collectively, like basically pick my brain and interact with me.
Love it.
And I've learned a lot out of those things too.
Yes, so. That's exactly right. Because in my communities, I know I haven't talked to you too much about what my business looks like, but we have a Facebook community and for most of my programs, and you learn so much from that. I think that when I first started that, I thought, oh, they're going to get so much value. Me and my leaders are going to be able to be there answering questions for them. But I think I might learn just as much and gain just as much because I get to hear where they're stuck. How else I can help them? What are the products and services I can introduce to meet the needs that they're dealing with? So it's constantly evolving. That feedback is huge.
It's you getting a chance to get paid to market research too.
Yes.
You know? It's truly that layout is truly a win-win-win for everybody.
It is.
Because you as the provider is learning and gaining insight as to where they're at that point, yeah, and creating immediate answers to whatever those needs are, you know, and to be able to kind of help them through their own journey. I mean, it's all about, and I get this from you, Ryan, you know, like it's all about creating these institutions or creating these lifestyle, creating these income streams to be able to support this lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I love it.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Yes. And one other quick question, or maybe two, but where do you find, so you've got your lead magnet out there on your website. How are people finding your website? What are you doing to attract people to your site?
So I work pretty closely with a association that is 100% outfitters. So nice. It's a small association. You know, they've got like 300 members essentially. Mm-hmm. And I attended their conference last year. I've done some webinars for them. Webinars are great. Webinars is a phenomenal way to be able to show your expertise, to demonstrate that you understand these people, to identify a problem they have and give them the answers to those problems, yes, give them the ability to do it on their own. Yeah. So I've generated a handful of clients that way. Nice. I'm going to speak at the conference this next year, and I anticipate there to be some generation at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd say like that's probably the main way of capturing clients and generating leads is through that conference. I've also created a Facebook group. I mean, we're on a Facebook group together, Outfitters and Guides Business Strategy Group. So, you know, Outfitters and Guides can find that. And then I post weekly videos to it.
Brilliant. That's that's your free Facebook group?
Yep.
Brilliant. That's one of the things that we teach doing too. Yeah. Because then if I'm an outfitter or guy looking for those groups, I'm going to go onto Facebook and do a search, and very likely yours is going to come up, and I have never even met you before, never heard of you, but suddenly I see that there's a group for my people. I'm going to join, and that free content's going to get me to know, like, and trust you. And therefore when it's time for me to need those services, well, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to you because now you've built that trust. That's so cool. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's the whole concept of it, you know, and it's a way to be able to connect with these individuals, like during the time of the season that you're not like actively selling too.
Yeah.
And when I first created it, I tried doing like the course sale and I tried doing the launch through it, and it just wasn't receptive at the time. Sure. But again, I got some incredible feedback from people that were on there and saying, you know, within light of COVID, it's just not right now, but we really like what you're doing. And I've spoke with some other individuals that monitor their own groups, you know, being the one person that's kind of handling it all. It sometimes feels like you're just like throwing information out there and you don't know like how well it's been received.
Uh-huh.
But like every time I kind of just feel like it's not going well, I'll have somebody call me up and be like, man, you really hit home with this video. Like, I feel like you're speaking exactly to me.
Love it.
All right. You just got to keep trucking along.
Absolutely. You do that. You just got to keep doing it. Keep serving. And they'll come. You said one quote we have in one of our groups is, if you serve them, they will come. And so sounds like you're doing a remarkable job of that. I wish I could say I taught you everything I know, but you're obviously doing it. And there's a lot of people out there teaching the same stuff we teach. And you're doing it really well. I would imagine that there's probably going to be, like, if I'm a CPA, I'm wondering, how can I do what you're doing? And let's say I have a love for some type of activity or really want to niche down. I mean, you could teach a whole other income stream for you if you wanted to ever go this direction, is have a course on how to do what you did, how to take a normal type of job where you are seeing clients one-on-one. And in order to grow that, you have to work more hours or get more clients. You've perfected that model of exactly what to do to not have to have 1,000 clients at $300 a year. And so that would be a whole other business model someday if you ever want to.
You know, I've had other people tell me that too, including my fiance and like other individuals, because I go to these conferences and, you know, I'm right now 31. I started my practice when I was 27 or something like that, 26, 27. And just right off the bat, I kind of just did things on the forward edge. And I didn't realize how forward edge it was until I went to a conference. And then at that point, I had a lot of like bigger practice, mm-hmm. like partners and owners and kind of these well-known names. They were like asking me all these questions. I'm like, I'm 29 years old. I don't know. I'm just doing it. But
love it.
But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. And I'd love to like teach people. I mean, just cause it's so fun. I mean,
it is. It's gratifying. Those success stories. I mean, you see it every day in your clients when that success story you just told me about the clients who are working less and making more. That's incredible. That's an incredible testimonial for you and your business. But yeah, one thing, if you're ever going to go that route of teaching other CPAs or not even just CPAs, it could be anybody that's in that type of business. I think you'd probably be easy for you to focus on CPAs is find a CPA convention and talk about how you've created multiple streams of income from that one skill set. You have, you know, and you could even create a course and so many options. I love brainstorming ideas, but
we'll connect when that gets to that point.
Absolutely. Feel free to reach out anytime. I love brainstorming ideas and figuring out ways for people to create extra income. And you could probably do it in a way that it doesn't really keep you from doing what you really love to do, which is helping the outfitter. So,
You know, that I rolled over this kind of answer to your question is like, how did I find that niche? And then what kind of gave me the confidence to it is it was really truly being like a group that I enjoyed working with, right? Mm-hmm. I know the people, I got excited about working with these individuals. Mm-hmm. It really just was a personal interest of mine. And even though it's not a traditional like big money, industry such as like doctors or attorneys or anything like that, it's just my kind of people.
Right.
So, you know, just because of that and just because I show them the passion and the interest to be able to help out, like you serve it. You build it, they will come kind of deal. So there's always this like appreciation for the outdoors and like just appreciation for like helping get through the grind. Yeah. And I think that's really kind of what carries it all.
I love it. I would love to have you back on at some point. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. And just congratulations on all you're doing because you are totally putting into practice everything that we teach on this podcast and in my programs. And I love to see that I know it works, but I'd love to see that there's other people out there doing the same thing and it's working for you. So that's so
absolutely
cool.
You know, I think when we connected and you sent me that message saying that you want to do this interview, I actually looked at your site and saw your book and was like, man, I remember Amazon recommending me this book a while back.
Oh, really?
I actually have some familiarity with Ryan because like you could just get popping up on their different places.
Send me your address. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the physical copy. I'd love to get it in your hands. It's short. It fits in the palm of my hand. So you can probably read it in about 45 minutes.
Great. I love those books.
Well, Zeb, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you being on with me.
You're welcome, Ryan.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.